Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of The Girl from Snowy River, The Matilda Saga, Book 2, written by Jackie French and read by Edwina Wren. The dedication reads, to Nina, Fabia and Evangeline, who keep the spirit of the girls from Snowy River. To Angela, with love and gratitude always for helping create the horses in this book and so much more. But most of all, to Robin, who rides the mountains with love and understanding, and who fights to keep her valley safe. Chapter 1, 22 November, 1919. Dear Diary, today I met a ghost. He came out of the fog unexpectedly, though how else do you appear in fog? One moment the two flat slabs of the rock loomed dark in front of her, the mist sifting about them thick as flour. Then suddenly there was a stranger, a young man in a bath chair, wheeling across the stone and gazing out over the valley. Empress snorted and tried to back away, her hooves cutting deep into the mud of the track. Flinty patted her neck, trying to assess the stranger. He didn't look like a swaggy, not with that too pale skin. And how could a swaggy travel in a bath chair? No, Empress was just nervous. Horses hated passing the rock.
There's ghosts up on that rock, old Dusty Jim muttered, especially between fencing jobs when he'd been at the bottle harder than usual. But Dusty Jim saw fairies and once an elephant that turned out to be another of the mountain's boulders. There was no such thing as ghosts. Except, she thought involuntarily, in my brother's eyes. But even if you didn't believe in ghosts, the rock felt different from the mountain slopes around it. Long ago, perhaps, mountain giants had played catch with a massive boulder and had dropped it here at the edge of the mountain from such a height that it split in two. Now the two flat halves perched like a veranda above the valley. Most days the fog drifted down from the gullies higher up, like icing sugar sprinkled on a sponge cake. Other times a saucer of mist, looking as solid as white sauce on a dish of cauliflower, sat on the rock between Rock Farm and the valley below. The air around the rock was always cold, as though the sunlight slid away down the slopes on either side. Suddenly, Flinty was glad of the solid farmhouse up the track behind her. Rock Farm might have got its name from the rock and even been made of mountain stone, but the house that Dad had built looked like it had drunk in years of warmth and happiness. Empress quivered again. Flinty stroked her neck.
Good morning, she called to the stranger.
The man glanced at her from his bath chair, surprised, as though he hadn't heard the hoofbeats approaching. Young, 21 perhaps, Andy's age, 4 years older than her, dressed in a blue shirt and thick blue trousers that ended in emptiness below his knees. His mouth looked carved in a straight line, too hard to smile.
Is it?
His voice wasn't bitter exactly. It sounded blank, like Andy's at the train station when he'd finally come back from the Great War, when they'd had to tell him Dad had died of the influenza while he was half a world away on the ship coming home. Andy had sounded like that the day he'd left them to go droving too. His eyes shadowed as though they still saw the mud of France, not the twisted shapes of snow gums. Now he was another man maimed by the war. Flinty tried not to stare at the place where the empty trousers dangled over the chair. She forced her voice to sound cheerful.
Well, it's not raining, or snowing, or blowing a gale. Are you visiting nearby?
She wondered who could have wheeled a crippled man onto the rock. The Mullinses' farm was an hour's ride downhill, and this man looked too well-dressed and sober to be staying with old Dusty Jim. Captain McAlpine had chosen his house site for its snow gums and their irregular trunks, weathered cream and green and orange, for the high peaks that glinted in the summer rain or gleamed blue-white in winter. Not for close neighbours or even good soil.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?